Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. $3.5 trillion. That's the amount of money that NAB estimates will flow down from older to younger Australians over the next decade as part of what it describes as the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in the country's history. So, as many Australians give and receive inheritances in the years to come, what do they need to know about how inherited money and other assets are taxed? Well, that's exactly what we are going to dig into on today's episode of Friends with Money. And to help guide us along the way, I'm very pleased to say that we are joined by, well, very much a friend of the podcast at this point, a regular money contributor and the director of tax communications at H&R Block, Mark Chapman. Mark, welcome back to Friends with Money.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Oh, very well, Mark. And I hope you're well as well. And we've got a really interesting topic to dig into today. But I guess the first thing I wanted to clear up right up top, there's no specific inheritance tax, I should say, in Australia, is there, Mark, like there is in some other countries?
No, there isn't. So I should say, unlike other countries like the UK, where there are estate taxes, inheritance taxes, which are payable on death, they do not exist here in Australia, and therefore the tax consequences basically flow down the line. So typically when the asset is actually ultimately disposed of by the beneficiaries, then there's a tax consequence, but there's no tax consequence from inheriting the assets per se.
I was about to say, let's finish the episode, close it there, all done and dusted. No one needs to know anything else. It's very straightforward. But no, that is, as you said, that is not the case. We don't have an inheritance tax, but there are other tax implications. So as you said, Mark, that's not to say that someone who inherits certain assets won't be taxed. What tax are we talking about here?
Yeah, so we're talking typically about capital gains tax. Now, the law is structured in such a way that there isn't any capital gains tax on the actual death itself. There's what's called a rollover, and the capital gains tax is effectively deferred. However, that deferral actually crystallizes, if you like, when the asset is actually disposed of by the beneficiary. And therefore, typically, on the disposal of the asset, the capital gains tax liability will arise. Based on the difference between the proceeds of sale and the base cost. Now, the proceeds are just what you sell the asset for. The real question is, what is the base cost? And I'm sure as we get further into the podcast, we can talk about that in relation to specific assets.
Mark, as you said, I think the best way to lay this out for everyone is to go through some examples. So let's start with property, if that's okay with you. Say someone inherits their family home from their parents, as well as, you know, perhaps an investment property that their parents may have owned. Will they be up for a tax bill on both of those properties?
Yes. So in relation to the investment property, they'll be up for a CDT bill based on the difference between the proceeds when they ultimately sell it and the base cost. Now, the base cost depends on when the property was actually originally acquired. So if the property was originally acquired before the 20th of September 1985, which was the date that CDT was introduced, you simply take the market value of the property at the date of death as the base cost. So all the gain which has been accrued before the date of death is basically not taxed. However, if the property has been acquired since the 20th of September 1985, which it probably will have done, the base cost is actually the original acquisition cost to the deceased. The price that they paid for it. So that's the capital gains on an investment property. In relation to the family home, well, basically, the main residence exemption could well be available there, and that could well exempt the family home, not just to the deceased, but also to the relatives who inherit the family home. So basically, the rule is that provided the dwelling is sold within 2 years of the date of death, then the main residence exemption applies fully to the property. It is possible to extend that 2 year period where there's some sort of problem in meeting the 2 year condition. You know, for example, where the will is challenged or settlement of the contract is delayed or falls through for reasons outside the taxpayer's control. But basically, that 2 year window is reasonably firm, unless one of those exemptions apply. Or the other situation where the full main residence exemption applies is where the dwelling is actually occupied by somebody under the terms of the will for the entire period from the date of death until the settlement date when the dwelling is eventually sold. So, for example, say the property passes to the taxpayer's daughter, who is given the right to occupy that property as her main residence as well, and she then lives there for a further 10 years, then the main residence exemption applies for the entire period and the property is completely tax-free.
Right. Okay. That actually all makes sense to me so far, which is great, Mark. Let's move on to another example then, or a couple of examples, and talk about some other assets. So for things like shares or superannuation or, I guess, cash savings, could the same CGT implications apply?
Well, I mean, if we look at those categories in detail, I mean, starting off with cash, which is the easy one, because cash is not a CGT asset, and therefore there's no capital gains tax on a cash inheritance. So you don't need to worry about that. You can go out and spend the cash without worrying about the tax consequences. So cash is the straightforward asset. Shares, basically the same rules that I've just talked about in relation to properties apply. There will be a capital gains tax liability on the ultimate disposal of the shares, so when the person who's inherited them sells them. Again, the base cost is either going to be the acquisition cost or the date of death, depending on when the shares were acquired. Mm. So, you know, there will be a tax liability. Superannuation is probably slightly trickier. Now, as a general rule, death benefits which are paid to dependents are completely tax-free. So the superannuation passes to the dependents completely tax-free. So what is a dependent? Well, a dependent includes a surviving spouse or de facto spouse, a former spouse or de facto spouse, a child of the deceased who's under age 18, any other person who is financially dependent on the deceased, or any person who had an interdependency relationship with the deceased. So, for example, an adult child who is in some way disabled and is completely reliant on the deceased to look after them. So they are all dependents. So they get the superannuation tax-free. However, anybody else is classified as a non-dependent. So, for example, brothers, sisters, parents, adult children, they will normally be taxed at non-dependent rates, and they vary between 15 and 30%. So there will be a tax liability if you're a non-dependent and you're receiving superannuation. But if you're a dependent, it'll be tax-free.
That was a great explanation, Mark. Thank you. That makes it nice and straightforward. Aside from, I guess, the more typical assets that we've talked about, you know, the property, cash, and the like, it's obviously not uncommon for people to inherit in other valuables, you know, like jewelry or a watch or perhaps even, I guess, a piece of art that has some value to it. So what's the deal with items like these? Is the ATO likely to come knocking as well?
Oh, well, it kind of depends. You know, if we're talking about a work of art or a piece of jewelry, for example, they could be classified as a collectible asset.
Mm.
Now, collectibles are subject to CGT, where the original cost was $500 or more. However, where the cost was $500 or less, a collectible is actually going to be exempt from CTT. So somebody might have bought a watch, but might have bought, say, a piece of jewelry for, say, $200. They've then died and passed it on to somebody else, who then ultimately sells it for $1,000. Now, that item will be a collectible. The cost was less than $500, and therefore the whole thing is CGT free to the person who inherited it. However, if the cost of that collectible was greater than $500, then unfortunately that CGT exemption doesn't apply, and it would be liable for CGT. In relation to cars, including classic cars, vintage cars, they are completely exempt from CGT, so you don't need to worry about them. If you inherit, you know, your parents' vintage Rolls Royce, for example, you've got a potential windfall because it can be sold completely tax free. The argument being that cars basically are a depreciating asset. You almost always sell them for less than you bought them for, and therefore they're excluded from capital gains tax to prevent people from getting a capital loss. However, in relation to those vintage cars, they don't actually depreciate, they appreciate. Mm. However, the same rules apply. So vintage cars are completely tax-free. In addition, if you inherit some kind of personal use item, such as, you know, your parents' furniture or electrical goods, household items, things like that, they are exempt from capital gains tax, provided the asset originally cost less than $10,000. So, you know, it is very much a case of it depends in relation to those kinds of assets. There could be CGT or there might not be. It really depends on the original cost of the asset, if it was a personal use asset or a collectible.
I'm still imagining a Rolls Royce parked in my parents' garage next to the Toyota Corolla. But yes, it's very very much imagining, not much based in reality there. Mark, one question I did have, which is probably quite relevant for a lot of people out there: how does it work if something like a property is being split between multiple parties? For instance, a group of siblings. Is the tax burden just split equally if and when the property is sold?
Yes, basically yes. It kind of depends. So if the property is sold as a whole by the estate and the proceeds are simply split up between the various beneficiaries, then the sale of the property will itself trigger a capital gains tax liability in the estate. And therefore, that will have to be paid, which will leave less cash available for the ultimate beneficiaries. So they will therefore pocket less of the actual proceeds. However, where it's simply the ownership of the property itself, which is being passed on, but the property isn't being sold, then yes, the tax liability is simply split between the various beneficiaries, and they will pay tax at their own marginal rate, based on their share of the property when it's ultimately comes time to sell the property.
Mark, as we begin to wrap up, I think it's important just to get a little bit more advice from you, because I think while you've done an excellent job explaining this and making it really straightforward, there are obviously going to be questions for people, and there are subtleties and little bits of differences here and there. So what kind of, I guess, professionals might people want to seek out for advice on this topic, and how might those professionals, I guess, be able to help people?
Yeah, well, I think that the simple answer is that you need to speak to a tax advisor for advice on the tax implications. And indeed, you need to speak to a lawyer to deal with, you know, any legal questions surrounding the will, etc. You know, particularly speaking to a qualified tax advisor is very useful, because as we've just established, kinks, some complications in the legislation, depending on when the asset was bought, whether it's pre-CGT, post-CGT, you know, are the assets exempt from CGT in some way, which can make it very difficult to work out your actual tax liability. So therefore, speak to a tax advisor, and they will be able to work out your tax liability for you, without any of the stresses and strains of trying to do it yourself. In addition, obviously, it is very sensible to have some legal advice in relation to inheritance, so it is worthwhile speaking to a lawyer or solicitor.
Yes, advice very much seems the way to go if you need it. I'm sure I would definitely rely on that if I was in the situation. I think we've ticked off a ton already today, Mark. So thank you so much for joining us and giving us such a great run through of part of the world that is inheritance and tax. It's always a pleasure to have you on. So we'll look forward to getting you back on the show soon.
No problem. Thanks, Tom, and goodbye.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.